Thank you for your warm welcome. It's just great to be back here. I mean, you know, you stand in a place like this in the morning, just kind of worshiping the Lord and breaking bread together and just seeing the power of God and seeing the possibilities that there is in God. He's just such an amazing, good Father. All right. I love Jesus. I love him. Yeah. He's made all the difference in my life. And we bring you warm greetings from Covenant Blessings. You know, it's just been such a joy over the years to see Paul and Mary and the team. Yeah, you know, different people just come and visit us. The church is very, very excited because come November, we're having three back-to-back camps and one English, two Hindi, and Paul, Mary, and I think Daryl and Martin somewhere. Yeah, there he is. Will be with us, so that's going to be fun. We are already kind of standing on tiptoe with great expectation and anticipation of what God is going to, you know, do in us at that time together. We, back in India, are seeing across our churches and many other churches, not just ours, just a season of tremendous growth and blessing. And with that, there's also a lot of persecution that's taking place. And so, you know, week in, week out, you hear news of pastors and leaders getting beaten up, churches vandalized, set on fire, stuff's happening like you cannot believe. The whole kind of nation has been polarized. Hatred is just kind of growing. And so, you know, whenever you do remember India, pray for us. Pray that God will come. This is a nation, you know, that God loves. You know, somebody said that God loves Indians so much, he made so many of them. You know. Pray for us, yeah, as a nation, yeah, that God will just come. And, you know, when you remember us, you know, it says when the apostles were persecuted by the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they brought them in for questioning, and they said, and they warned them, do not speak in this name again. Do not speak in this name again. And they said, judge for yourself whether we should listen to you or listen to God. And when they went back, they gathered together and they began to pray. You know, 5,000 of them. Can you imagine? It says they raised their voices. Man, that place must have been shaking with the sound of their voices. Verse 23 onwards in Acts chapter 4. And then it comes to verse 29 and it says, Lord, consider their threats. Don't take it away. Just look at it. You look at it. I'm not looking at it. Grant your servants great boldness. Pray for us that we'll have that great boldness. And underline your word with signs and wonders and miracles by the hand of your holy servant Jesus. And it says, after they had prayed, verse 31, the place in which they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to see us more and more just being filled with the Spirit of Almighty God and beginning to see his hand at work like never before in our country. And so pray for us, yeah? In our church, over many years, we've always kind of seen healings and miracles happening and stuff happening. But something broke on the 6th of December, 2015. I preached a simple message, asked people to respond. People came up. The first thing I did was to stand and impart gift to people. I want to say to you that you can impart gift. You can never impart history. And there's no substitute for experience. All right? And that kind of honoring of people. I want to honor this couple here in the house of God this morning. What an amazing couple. I want to honor them because you guys walk the talk. I want to honor them because you have pressed on and you have persevered and you have had patience mixed with faith and you've not given up when you could have easily given up. I want to honor you because when people did not believe in you and when people said, you'll never make it, you said, God, you're with me. And, you know, I just want to say that you are a father and mother to this house, but you're a father and mother to many other people beyond this house and beyond the shores of this nation. And I just want to bless you and bless your family in Jesus' name, you know. And so I just prayed for people just to kind of be a part of this. And they then went and began to pray for people. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will get well. That's what Jesus said in John, in Mark chapter 16. And I believe resurrection authority has been given to every single believer, not just us as pastors and leaders. And I loved what Rick, where are you, Rick? Somewhere here. Yeah, there you are. Just what he was sharing with me yesterday and today. Just of seeing, healing on the streets like never before. Just the power of Almighty God. I want to encourage you this morning. Now, somebody was asking me, what's the difference between you guys in India and we here in England? Of course, this church is a little different, I must say. But by and large, what's the difference, they said. Why do you see so much there and we don't see much here? I'll tell you one of the reasons. When something happens, you need to celebrate. You need to celebrate and you need to give Jesus all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And let testimony upon testimony upon testimony be there in the house of God. I'll tell you why. Because testimony simply means do it again. And when you bring the testimony, don't add to it. Just bring it like it was, like it happened. When you bring the testimony, God just says, I'm here and I'm willing to do it all over again. That's testimony. And so that morning, across our two English churches, we saw healings take place. And then in the evening, we saw another kind of breakthrough happening. And people who were plagued with illnesses for 6 years, for 8 years, for 10 years, God just healed him. And we saw over 50 documented healings that took place that Sunday. Sunday the 6th, 2015. And ever since that Sunday, every single week, we've seen something happen. Every week. We came into 2016. One of our churches, one of our pastors in one of our churches, he got married. So we sent a pastor from this church to that church. And we just had one of the guys we were training to bring the word. And as he was preaching, they brought him a lady who was paralyzed. She couldn't even sit on a chair, so they laid her on a mat. After the meeting got over, the lady's there on the mat, and the pastor's wife kind of got involved with some pastoral problem. She's kind of checking it on. And these guys who were training said, okay, what can we do? So they just formed a circle around her, and they just started praying. And as they prayed, they said, would you like to sit up? And she sat up. So they prayed a little bit more. They said, would you like to stand up? And she stood up. They prayed a little bit more. Said, would you like to walk? And she walked. She walked probably this kind of breadth of this hall. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That actually resulted in over 40 people giving their lives to the Lord in the village she came from. We're ready to plant a church there now. Jesus wants to do that with you. You know. And he wants to see an increase of that happening. And then we ended 2016 with seeing three paralytics walk, and the Lord said to me, as we began 2017, I'm going to do it again, so watch me. But we were kind of a little late getting off the blocks. You know, we had a lady, Shubangi, coming from a non-Christian background, walked into the church in March. In August, her sister was rushed up to the hospital because she had a paralytic stroke, paralyzed from her neck down. And she's on the bed. The doctors come, checked her out and said, I need this injection to be bought from the chemist ASAP. So she rushes the door off. She's sitting there looking at this lady, looking at her sister, wondering, what can I do? I can't do anything. She said, yeah, okay, I can pray in the name of Jesus. Mind you, she just come to the Lord in March. No background of scripture or anything. All right, but Jesus. So she prays in the name of Jesus. Guess what? The sister sits up. Sits up on the bed. She rushes, calls the doctor. The doctor says there's no need for the injection. You know, and all heaven breaks loose. All right, that's what Jesus wants to do for us. In December, we have a guy from our English church. His name is Deepak, and his wife is a nurse in a hospital. Deepak's daughter just happens to be taking the day off. She's at home. He begins to feel unwell. She calls her mother. Mother says, get him in a taxi, rush him to the hospital. On the way to the hospital, he's paralyzed. The whole left side is paralyzed. They take him out. Somebody comes up and says, Pastor, he looked ugly. Because what happened was his left eyeball just moved from the center right to the side. And it's just there at the side. So not only is he paralyzed, he's seeing double. And that can just disorient you completely. So he's lying there in the ICU. The doctor comes in and he says to him, we're going to start medication immediately. However, let me just say this to you, that this will take at least 6 months, if at all, to come back. So we're telling you this straight away. So the hospital was way into the city. We called up Sumati, and I just said to her, take their mobile into their ICU. How many of us know that God is not hindered by time or space? So she took it into Deepak, and, you know, he can't talk. He's there lying down. We just held hands together in our home, and we began to pray. As we prayed, Deepak fell asleep. Woke up the next morning, eyes back in place. All right, 1 month later, he walked down the hall, put his hands in the air, and said, this is what Jesus did for me. Yes, completely, completely healed. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Next week, he said to me, he drives a car, but next week he said to me, I'm back on my scooter. You know, so that's Jesus for us. All right, that's Jesus for us. And we've already seen one paralytic walk this year. And we're believing, I'm just telling you about the paralytics here, but there are also a lot of other stuff that's happening. Let me also say to you, we pray for a lot of people and nothing happens. But I want to encourage you, keep praying. Because that will increase and increase and increase. You know, of the increase of his kingdom and of his government and peace, there will be no end. And we want to see his reign, his rule coming as we just go and, you know, keep kind of pressing it. Amen? That's Jesus for us. And so we are really, really excited about what God is actually doing right through our nation and beyond. I'll leave it there. Of course, in the midst of it, some funny things do happen. You know, Frank went over to this televangelist, and he said, I'd like you to pray for my earring. And so after 3 minutes of violently shaking this man and trying to kind of throw him over, he said, and how's your hearing? He said, well, I don't know. It doesn't take place until Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the courthouse. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd gathered around him was so large that he got into the boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. I'll tell you one thing about Jesus. He's plenty smart. You know, how times have changed. I mean, today the preacher stands, everybody else sits. In his day, he sat, everybody else stood. You can't fall asleep standing, yeah? All right? And he's at the water's edge. You sit down, your pants get wet. So you know, and he begins to teach, and he brings to them this amazing kind of parable. And they can't kind of understand what's happened. They come to meet Jesus. They ask him, what do these parables mean? Verse 13, Jesus said, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? And then he begins to actually explain to them. Let me say to you that every single time the Word of God comes to you and me, whether we are reading His Word, whether you hear the preached Word, or there is a prophetic Word, we every single time have the opportunity to have these four responses. All right? So let's check. What did your pastor speak about last week? Sometimes even the pastor doesn't remember. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Brilliant. So that was not a trick question. That's just to make you think. And God wants that we actually are able to grasp and get a hold of His Word and say, God, how does this actually apply to me? What do I need to know because of the Word that has come to me? And it says every one of these heard the Word. Every one of these heard. And then Jesus goes on to say, pay close attention to what you hear. Verse 24, the closer to you listen, the more understanding you will be given and you will receive even more. In fact, another translation says, consider carefully how you hear. Why? Because we have so much of head noise. And we have all these kind of voices that keep speaking to us. The voice of our past, the voice of failure, the voice of disappointment, the voice of discouragement, the voice of the enemy, the voice of my culture. All these kind of voices keep speaking to me. And so often these kind of voices bring me into a place of great fear. And they bring me into a place where I'm chained and fettered, and I'm so nervous to do what God wants me to do because of all these voices. That's why he says to us this morning, consider carefully how you hear. It's so very important that we are getting this kind of bit of hearing so that when we hear, the ears of our inner man are responding to him. And in that kind of response to him, we begin to see fruitfulness of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. You see, whenever God gives you something, he never gives you a tree laden with fruit. He gives you something in seed form. And it's up to you and me to see that that seed is in a good environment and is watered and receives sunlight, etc., etc. And so it's really important that we are taking time off to ask ourselves, what are those voices that we are actually allowing to influence us? And then Jesus in verse 33 says, he used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. Question for us this morning, how much do we understand? How much do we understand? I stood in the worship this morning and I began to kind of just sense in my heart first, in the first bit, that God is actually wooing some of you and he's drawing some of you. You see, I can see about 4 or 5 levels in our walk with the Lord. The minute I come to know Jesus, I become a believer. I believe. And I hope that as I become a believer, the next step that I want to do is I want to become a person who becomes somebody who's discipled. All right, if you're not being discipled this morning, I want to encourage you, go to your leaders and say, disciple me, train me. I want to be accountable to you. You want to move and grow and develop and see fruit and be effective and productive in your Christian life, you need somebody to disciple you, somebody to put some things into you, somebody to challenge you, somebody to say to you, hey, what were you reading from the Word last week? And once you come into that second level, you probably then come into the third level of being a servant, of just serving. And again, this church is just absolutely brilliant. Just watching people yesterday, watching people this morning, such a heart to serve. But many of us stop there. And I believe this morning, God wants to invite you into that kind of fourth level. And that fourth level is the level of friendship. And he's wooing you and he's calling you. And he's saying, no longer do I call you my servants, I call you my friends. You know, in the king of Babylon, they had these beautiful gardens. And when there was when the king's delight and pleasure was on you, one of the things that he did for you was, which was something of great honor, was to invite you to come and walk in his garden. And God's inviting you this morning to come walk in his garden. He says, come walk with me hand to hand. I'm going to speak to you heart to heart. I'm going to tell you things nobody else has ever heard. And he's drawing you, he's wooing you, and he's saying, would you come? In fact, in his ministry, verse 34, he never taught without using parables. And afterwards, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. And I believe that God's just drawing you and saying to you, would you come and take time off to spend alone with me? I've been a pastor now 26 years. I've been in some form of leadership for the last 34 years. And I'll tell you what happens. You don't get people who kind of just go off the rails just like that. What happens is there's a little bit of complaining, a little bit of murmuring, a little bit of grumbling. And what's actually happened to you is you're getting into a downward spiral. And that's where you need to watch. Because as you begin to grumble and murmur a little bit and say, God, this, you know, say something as we go along, you begin to understand that you'll come into a place where there is a negative report which will lead to a spirit of unbelief. Didn't happen just like that. And so it's really, really important that you are being at a place where you're watching yourself. You're just going to read this passage of scripture about a storm in a moment and see what happens to the disciples. Because they went running to him and said to him, Master, Do you not care? You see, fear leads to accusation. Imagine saying, bringing that. What a kind of question to say to the Savior of the world. Do you not care? And so often in our lives, when stuff happens where we don't really understand what's kind of going on, we come to Him. And I want to say to you, be careful. If you're married this morning, help one another. Let me tell you, you cross 50 years of age as a man, you start grumbling. All the wives are smiling, all right? All right? If your husband here is over 50 years of age, you hear him grumbling, all right? All you do is just feed him, put something in his mouth. He'll be fine. All right? How do I know it? All right. I want to say I've seen that with Paul too, right? All right. So let me read this part of scripture from verse 35 to 41. As the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Who said this to his disciples? Come on, somebody help me from the back. Thank you so much. Jesus said. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. And there were other boats with him. I'll come back to this right at the end of me speaking to you this morning. Yeah, really important. There were other boats with him. But soon a fierce storm came up and high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. And Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on the cushion. And the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? We are going to drown." And Jesus woke up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he looked and then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And Jesus and the disciples were absolutely terrified and said, "Who is this man?" They asked each other, "Even the wind and the waves obey him." So I want you to look at kind of what's happening in this whole kind of scenario with Jesus and the disciples. He's been teaching a lot. He's been speaking to them in parables, and then he's explaining to them what's kind of happening. And Jesus sees a kind of storm coming, and it's almost like he's rubbing his hands together and says, "Come on, boys, let's go for a boat ride." All right? Because he's already seeing the storm coming, and he wants to teach them something. And so they get into the boat. And when they get into the boat, I mean, you see the humanity of Jesus. He's exhausted. He's tired. He goes to the back and he falls asleep. And they get into this storm. All right. Any of you been in a storm on the sea? All right. A few of you. All right. I'll tell you. We were on the sea in a storm, man. Oh. And when the boat is up, you feel okay. And then suddenly, when it goes down, and you see this wall of water on either side of you, you go, "Mommy." You know. And you're like, "Oh, you know. I didn't like that at all." All right. Actually, there was so much water coming in the boat, nobody noticed my pants were already wet before that. You know. But it's scary, I'll tell you, man. It's really, really scary. All right. And high waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. You know, and so here's Jesus. He's been teaching them, and you know, he wants to kind of move them from a place of knowledge into a place of understanding. And the only way you move in from a place of knowledge into understanding is to allow him to take you on a journey. And that's the journey of life, because life is full of ups and downs. Some days we smile, some days we frown. And here's Jesus. He's gone to sleep in the boat. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's water coming into the boat in the front, there's water coming to the boat in the back. Is that a logical statement? All right. And I'm quite a light sleeper. Somebody's just put a little water on me. I'm going to jump up. And Jesus, he's just fast asleep. He's absolutely fast asleep. Bill Johnson says this. He says, "You can sleep in any storm that you have authority over." I love that. You can sleep in any storm that you have authority over. I always ask myself the question, why is it that Jesus, all right, was not disturbed by the storm? Why didn't he wake up? All right, water must have been, you know, coming onto him. How come? And I began to see, you know, one thing, there are no storms in heaven. And Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. That's what he came to do. He stands up and he says, be still. Even as the disciples are just absolutely going, you know, they are so frightened. Now, another thing is that many of them were fishermen. And as a fisherman, you can take for granted that they were ace swimmers. But they knew something about this storm. Whatever my swimming skills are, it's not going to save me. And therefore, they cried out. They cried out to Jesus. Because they're in the midst of this. And it would have been a real kind of frightening experience for them. And they are full of fear. And Jesus kind of just says, silence, be still. Be still. Let me say to you that it was Jesus who said to them, get in the boat. I've begun to understand that obedience to Jesus does not bring immunity to the storm. Because many times we say, Jesus, this is what you said to me. I've obeyed you. Then why all these problems? Why all these problems? But the Lord allows the storms to come our way just because we have obeyed him. You know, very often as Christians, we have a lie deep down that just because I've come to know Jesus, there's going to be no problem at all. You know, my children are going to get good jobs. Their marriages are going to get well. You know, everything is going to be fine. Everybody in my family will be healed. My grandmother will never die, you know, because I'm a Christian. And he wants us to understand this morning that he allows the storm in our lives. Testing, whenever testing comes your way, is always designed to draw you to him. When you have temptation is designed to draw you away from God. But testing is designed to draw you toward God. And you need to begin to say, God, I need wisdom. I keep praying to the Lord, give me wisdom so I can tell the difference between the two. And so here's Jesus, and he stands up, and it says suddenly the wind stopped, and that there was a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? All right. Do you still have no faith? And the disciples were absolutely terrified. Now, track with me. When they're in the storm, they're really frightened. And now it's all calm. And it says they were absolutely terrified. Well, they were terrified. I'll tell you why. And they asked the question, who is this? Who is this? Because when they got into the boat, the knowledge that they had was that here was a rabbi. Here was the teacher. But through the storm, and through him beginning to stand up with all authority, because the minute he spoke, creation heard the voice of its creator. The minute he spoke. And they are sitting in the boat now, and everything is calm. And they are absolutely terrified. Why? Because they had not understood who this Jesus is. That's why they asked the question, who is this man? And this morning, that's the question I'd like to ask you. Who is Jesus to you? Who is this Jesus to you? Maybe in your family you've seen a little healing, so you know him as healer. Maybe you cried out to him for provision, and so you say he's my provider. Maybe there's been a lack of peace, and he stepped in and he's brought the shalom of God into your house, and you know him as the Prince of Peace. I want to encourage you and say to you, there's much more. Who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus to you? Maybe you want to just ask yourself the question, who is Jesus actually to you? Yes, he's our Savior. Yes, he has saved us. He's forgiven our sin. Yes, he shed his blood for us, which is really, really key and important. If you're here for the first time this morning, you've never heard about this Jesus, He's just such an amazing God. The scripture tells us that he created man to have fellowship with him. And man's sin separated them from God. But God said, you know what? I really, really need to be at a place where I need to be in fellowship. So he sent his only son. And Jesus comes and dies for us on the cross. And this is available to everybody, but we need to make a decision for ourselves to invite him to come into our lives. And if you're here this morning and you've never ever made that decision, now is a great time. This day, the 3rd of June, 2018, great time to say, Jesus, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Because he will immediately respond to the cry of your heart. Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And I believe for you as a church together, God wants to take you on this journey that you will come into a greater understanding of who Jesus is in your circumstance and situation. And how he has brought you to this place, not only to be in this house this morning, which is absolutely fantastic, but actually to go out from here to be able to touch and impact and reach many, many people. And the scripture says, as I close, it says there that there were other boats with him. There were other boats with him. So let me ask you a question. When they were in a storm, what do you think about the other boats? I think logically the other boats were in a storm also. What do you think? All right. And when it was all calm, what happened to the other boats? I mean, they must have been wondering what's happening. Like, you know, I mean, these guys know exactly what's happening. They go, they wake up Jesus. He stands up and says, peace, be still. And it's all calm. But the other guys must have been thinking, what in the world is happening here? What's my point? My point is this, that your miracle has the power to impact a whole community. Just one miracle. And as you step in into everything that God has got in store for you, and as you are at a place where you're obedient, and as you're at a place where you're embracing this journey that he's taking you on, he's saying, I will work things in your life in such a way that it impacts a whole community. If you're here this morning, maybe you just want to close your eyes and picture your street. The street that you live on. The lane that you live on. Your neighbors. Just picture them. And say, God, I want to see 25% of them saved. Picture them this morning. Say, God, thank you. I've been through a storm. I've been through a difficulty. You've done something for me. Your miracle has really, really touched my life. You've changed our family. I'm believing for that to just have an impact on the people around me. And I believe even this week, God will give you that opportunity to be able to talk to them. For something to happen, we say, can I pray for you? And as you pray, you will see Jesus step in. And things will just change. And so I want to encourage you that Jesus is with you in the boat. In your difficulties of your circumstance and your situation. And maybe there are some of you this morning who have actually said, do you not care? And if that's you, you just want to say, Jesus, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. And run into his arms again. Because he's a good, good father who wants the very best for us. And maybe you're here this morning and there's been a little bit of grumbling and a little bit of complaining. And you're just saying, Lord, I want to just be able to say thank you to you. I want to be able to praise you. Because praise is the power of heaven. And it opens the door for the king to step in. And it just unlocks things as we praise him and as we worship him. And maybe for some of you, you're just saying, who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? God wants to move you from knowledge into an understanding. That you would understand the Father heart of God. Thank you, Jesus. The man who was drumming this morning, I just feel that God wants to give you a baptism of joy. I feel that there are circumstances and situations that have happened and they are kind of consuming you. You're just being caught up with it. And God's just saying to you, my son, would you just lift your eyes unto me? I believe that God's putting into you a new strength. He's giving to you a new revelation and a new understanding of who he is. And I believe joy is going to flood your being like never before. You're going to stand and you're going to laugh. In fact, your neighbors are going to say, what's happening? Because they can hear you laughing your head off. And God's just going to fill you with that joy. It'll be really great to say, God, I just give it to you. I just give it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There was a man this morning, he had a little beard. And he was just sitting here at the side in a light green t-shirt. I can't see him. A younger guy. Okay. I just had a picture for him, so you can just tell him. Paula. I just saw him. I don't know what he does for work, but I just saw him kind of working, like a carpenter does kind of work. And I just saw him, God using him as in the natural, he's using him just to build the lives of people. And I saw him as a person. I just saw him as a person who would just come in and he would just see possibilities in people's life. Actually, I just saw this whole thing about extensions, kind of. And I just believe that God's hand is so much upon that man, all right, that he would just come alongside people and just see strength and see wholeness. And that God was just giving him such a heart of compassion for people, that he would just want to see them kind of being built up. He would go to a place where he would just come alongside them and show them different possibilities, even younger ones in their kind of workplace. So just felt that for him. I felt for you that you were really bold to come sit on the chair this morning. All right. I think when Paul's around, you have to be bold. You don't know what's going to happen. You just came out. You took that step of faith. And I believe for you that God's saying that these are days of taking the step of faith. You did it here, but he's going to call you to do it out there. And as you do it out there, you're going to see things, walk up to people, talk to them, and watch what God will do in their lives. You will be known as somebody who actually is a seer, who's able to see something. And as you kind of look, and as God will show you beyond the smile on a person's face, and you will be able to speak to the ache that is in people's hearts, so that you would see them being made whole. Like just like you came and sat on the chair and said, Jesus, I want to seek your face again. I want to be in your place where there will be strength once again, where your love will pour into my heart, that you will be one to do that. You've got something in you which is such, there's such a motherly kind of instinct in you. And I believe that God would use that just to bring people in. I believe that God will use you to just speak to especially younger girls who have been abused and whose life, there are emotional scars. Yes, you will see healing, but you will see healing more in inside. And God's just causing you to just come alongside them. Sometimes you will say, I don't know what to say. Well, you don't need to say anything. Just you standing with them, putting your arm around them, will just bring the love of Jesus into their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't we stand and pray this morning? God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Martin, Wendy, your daughters are just absolutely special, yeah? I must say that. I just got a chance to just touch base with them a little bit. And, I just feel in my heart, you guys are so different, actually. I don't know. I suppose you're the younger one, but you're the one who tells people what to do. And it's almost like it's yes or no, black and white kind of, you know. People really don't like to mess with you. But I believe that God is just going to bring you to a place where He'll use that passion and that kind of strength that is in you to actually touch a lot of people. That's what He's going to do. He's actually getting a hold of your heart. I believe this last year in university for you will be a place where you will impact a lot of people around you. These first 2 years, you got bogged down with what's kind of happening. You're kind of sometimes sick. But God's saying He's going to use you in that place. And He's going to actually stir your heart with such graciousness towards people that even your mom and dad will say, wow, something's kind of happened. Yeah. And for you, just feel for you too that there's already that compassion that is growing in your heart towards people. And God's going to kind of bring that out in the open for you. And you're going to see just that ability to care, to love on people, that as you come alongside them, they will feel like you're an angel. In fact, somebody will say that to you. They will actually say these words, are you an angel? Because God's going to do something with you. Your touch upon people's lives is going to allow them to just come before the throne. And God will use you to draw many, many people to Jesus. So God bless you. Father, would you lift your hands with me towards heaven, because that's from where our help comes from. Father, I just thank you for this house this morning. I thank you for this tribe this morning. My God, I thank you that you are just such an amazing God. I thank you that your presence just fills this place. This place is definitely a presence center. And thank you that we, as your presence carriers, as we go out from this place, may we carry your presence that would touch and change and transform many, many, many lives. That just as walking by people, they would say, wow, something just happened to me just now. And they will look and say, what's different about you? My God, I thank you that even as we read through the scripture this morning, you want to move us on from a lot of knowledge that we had into actually understanding the heart of God. I believe that for many, many people, as you're wooing them and you're drawing them into this place of friendship, they will begin to feel and hear the heartbeat of their Father who is in heaven. And as they hear the heartbeat, their lives would be on fire for you, Lord. And something would stir within them that they would reach out and say, God, this is not just for me. I cannot but hold it to myself. I have to be able to give it to others. And God, I pray that there would be such a stirring in this church this morning that people would just reach out to a lot of other people because of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that this place holds the possibility of seeing it being filled many times over. God, thank you for this building. Thank you for the miraculous way in which you provided. This testimony just speaks of the goodness and the kindness of God. And thank you, Lord, that you want that from this place. I believe that this place will be a resource center. I believe that this place will be a sending place. I believe that from here, you will send out the cream. And as you send out the cream, the milk will boil again and you'll get another layer of cream. And God wants to use this kind of place. I believe that God is bringing you to a place like the book of Acts and chapter 2, where it begins to say they went house to house and they broke bread. I believe that it's coming a time when you have experienced the presence of God in this place and you have seen the healing and the hand of Almighty God in this place. But I believe that God is saying there's much more. And what He's saying to you this morning is that He's going to replicate that in family after 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 family. And you're going to see that replication as people come into your homes. This church will be known. This church will be known as a church in which the families have just opened their doors to the community. You don't see it in many homes in this country, but it's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference. And as people come into your homes, there's going to be healing. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be a setting of people free. Chains are going to be broken. The past is going to be a thing of the past. People are going to be pulled out. The enemy is going to flee. What you see happening here in this place is going to happen in your homes, from house to house, from house to house. They broke bread from house to house. As you break bread, you're going to see the breaking of the power of the enemy. And it'll go out from this place and touch many, many people. I believe that this word is not just for Kingsland. I believe it's, as we looked at that A47 yesterday, and all the churches that are connected, I believe that God's going to do that. So, Father, I just pray blessing now upon the people in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.